I'd like to welcome Navdeep Gill from H2O. He'll be presenting scalable machine learning in R with H2O.
Hi, can you guys hear me? Yeah, perfect. So my name is Navdeep Gill. I'm a data scientist at H2O. I've been there for about a year. In this talk, I just hope to kind of go over what H2O is and give you guys a few, demos, code snippets, maybe an example in Amazon EC2. If the internet lets me do that demo. Okay, so just a little background behind me. Before this, I was in academia. I've been in neuroscience for 3 years, doing data science for 2 years, and software development for about a year. In terms of being an R user, I used it before RStudio. So that was a sort of a pain back in the day, but it's okay. My background's in statistics, so I'm a statistician by training. So here's just a brief schedule of what we're gonna be doing today. So a brief overview of H2O, the R API, and then a few demos. So in terms of a company, we were founded in 2012. Our co-founders are Sri Satish Ambadi and Cliff Click. There's roughly about 65 of us right now, so that number is kind of off. H2O in general is open source, so we're on GitHub. If you want to look at the code, you definitely can. If you want to contribute, you could do that as well. In terms of APIs, we support R, Python, Scala, and of course, Java, which is our backend. Here's some of our scientific advisors. You guys might recognize probably all of them. So it's Rob Tibshirani, Trevor Hasty, Stephen Boyd. They sort of help us out when it comes to implementing algorithms and sort of what track we should use when we implement these algorithms. Just another quick overview. We care about speed. Where we do all of our distributed stuff in memory to make sure we're getting the best performance about what we want to predict or anything like that. We scale to big data. So, we're talking about terabytes of data. H2O has the ability to scale to this in a production type environment. In terms of another API we have an interactive web UI called Flow. So people who don't want to code or anything like that, you can use Flow to kind of go through your framework and get some predictions out. Here's sort of an algorithm suite that we have. So the main ones I want to point out is like random forest, GBM, GLMs, deep learning. That's sort of like the main popular ones you see in industry right now. In terms of unsupervised, PCA, GLRM, which is actually a product of Stanford, and also K-means. So in terms of where we can read data from, there's Amazon S3, HDFS, NFS, URLs, CSV, you name it, we can read it into H2O. H2O itself is memory bound, it's not CPU bound. So, as long as you have the right amount of memory, you can do a lot of great things in H2O. So here's how a H2O frame looks like. So if you guys are familiar with R, there's a data frame, there's a data table. So what a H2O frame looks like, think of each column as a vec. And each partition of the vec, or each partition across vec, think of that as a chunk. And what we do is that when we distribute this out, it goes to each JVM, and then we run it in parallel. So here's a brief overview of the R API. So requirements of what you should have in your setup. So R version greater than 3.1, Java greater than 1.7, Linux, OS X, Windows, you name it, it can work. In terms of getting the R package, you can go to the h2o.ai download page, or you can download it directly from CRAN. I should warn you that sometimes there's a delay between the latest version of H2O and what we have on CRAN. Just a quick thing, no computation is ever performed in R. So all the computations are done through a REST call between the R API and the Java backend. So now I'm gonna give a demo. So I ran some of this before I came in, because I knew I was bounded by time. So I just want to kind of go over what this problem is and some of the things you can do in H2O. So this problem is predicting the probability of someone defaulting on a loan. The data set is from Lending Club. So it's one of these companies out in San Francisco that helps people out get loans and things like that. I just want to go over what the syntax looks like from H2O versus R so you guys can get a feel for it. Oh, sorry. So here, we're just gonna set a few paths using R's normalized path. Doing the import file, you can just call H2O import file, give it a path, and then you just wanna give it a destination frame. Oh, bigger. Oh, how do I do that? Is that better for everyone or more? Yeah, okay, that's good. Okay, cool. So this is just a simple h2o.import file. So you can, with h2o.import file, you can give it a CSV file, so like a normal path to a file. You can give it an S3 link, any of these things, as long as you have the credentials to do it. In this one, most likely what most people would do in R is they would probably want to change the column names. So we can do a names of the reject frame. So I should mention that the loans frame is a data frame that has all people that were accepted to get a loan, and these are all the rejects. And what we want to do is we want to read in these two files and put them together to set up for a supervised machine learning problem. So here we're setting the binary response. So if it's rejected, it gets a 0, you know, accepted 1, so probability of 1. Here we're doing a little bit of feature engineering here. So as most of you might know, dates have a rich amount of features. You can extract year, month, day. You can get differences between time. In this case, we're just going to get the years for both of them. A lot of the functions in H2O are overloaded into R. So what that means is when you do a library call to H2O, you have the option of running what's in R, or you can do H2O dot whatever that function is. It should be the same. So in this one, we're just changing from a factor to numerics in one of the DTIs. DTI is just the ID frame that we want to extract time from. And also this one, this function here, set diff. So this is just extracting columns to use as the X inputs and leaving something out that's going to be used as the Y input. And then, of course, the app status, which is basically the outcome variable we're going to set as a factor. One of the other things we can do in H2O is the h2o.split frame. So in this case, I'm saying split the frame data and give me 80% of it, you know, just a random amount, so I can use it as a train set, and I can use the rest as the validation set. Here I'm doing the same thing again. I'm setting up a GBM. So I'm going to use a GBM to predict the probability of default on a loan. So then if you want, you can see the output of the GBM. So a lot of metrics get sent out. Some popular ones are the confusion matrix, F1 score, F2 score, recall, specificity, precision. In this case, you know, the AUC on the validation is 0.98. And then the AUC on the train is about 0.98. So that's good, right? We're not seeing any disparity between the two. One thing I wanted to point out, H2O does support a grid search. So a lot of times when you're approaching a machine learning problem, you're not really sure what metrics to use or what parameters to use. So you can do a Cartesian grid search, which will search through the whole permutation of parameters that can be used in a GBM model in this case. So of course, this one can take some time. Of course, this is bounded by how much memory power you have on your computer. But essentially what this would do is if we run this will print out every model or every GBM it ran, and it will sort it by AUC. So the highest AUC is on top, all the way down to the smallest AUC. So this is sort of good if you just have, you know, no idea where to start. So you can kind of start with this and then kind of play around with the parameters as you're done. Another cool one we have is random grid search. So this is for, I know some of you are maybe in the consulting business or something like that. You just have to build out a model pretty quickly. We have a couple stopping metrics that can be used. So essentially in a random grid search, we're saying randomly search this space. But once you reach 5 models, just stop and give me the best one. Also, we have it with max runtime. So if you're saying only run this for, you know, a couple hours, I have a deadline in 3 hours, just give me the best model and I'll submit it. So that's pretty much all I had for the R API in terms of running, you know, like a quick machine learning demo. This is also available on GitHub, and we have plenty of more examples on the H2O GitHub website. And here are some links that you can follow. And of course, H2O does support booklets that act as tutorials across the different algorithms we offer, and of course, the different APIs we offer as well. So now I'm going to talk about running the R API on AWS EC2. So AWS EC2 is a cloud compute platform. It's just a way of spinning up a lot of different machines virtually and running, you know, things in a distributed fashion. So this is kind of like a pictorial of what you would expect to happen in an EC2 instance. You have data sitting in S3. You read it in and it's sent to every instance. And each instance has a version of H2O running. And then across this, H2O can distribute out its algorithms and score in a much faster manner than running on a single CPU. So I could give a quick demo of this. Oh, that's not good. There we go. So before I came in, I started 8 instances of an M3.2x large machine, which is one of the larger EC2 machines that are offered in the market. In terms of how to set up your own EC2 cluster with H2O, you can follow the H2O EC2 demo, which is located on our GitHub page under the EC2 folder. So you can follow this step by step, and as long as you have AWS credentials, you can follow along with this demo. So essentially to run this, if you follow the demo, it all boils down to running the shell script. You run the shell script, and if you set up the parameters in a subsequent Python script that we have, which is called launch-instance.py, you can set up saying you don't want 8 machines, 4 machines, whatever, of this type of EC2 instance. And then you run the shell script, and it'll spit up all these on your in your EC2 console, and then you can access them. So in this case, once you've ran your EC2 cluster, you just have to point to one of the DNS URLs, and then give it a port of 8787, which will point to RStudio. And if you point to the same DNS and give it a port of 54321, you're able to get H2O Flow. Now, the reason I'm using Flow for this is I want to show you guys this thing called the water meter. So this is all the machines that run across EC2. And then now I'm going to try to do this airlines demo. So if you guys are familiar with the airlines data set, it's about a 10 gig, 11 gig data set, and it has to do with predicting based off some features if a flight is going to be delayed or not. So then we just install this. So this will set up H2O. This little script or little snippet is available on the H2O download webpage. This will essentially update your version of H2O if needed, or it will install a new version of H2O if you don't have one. So this is set up. So we can call a simple library call to H2O. We can do an init. So you see the amount of memory that's available, you know, is a decent amount. So now what we can do is we can read in the data set and of course set some of these fields to numeric because they're read in as characters. If you look here, it's parsing it right now. So then all the machines are lighting up. So that should be an indication that H2O is working in a distributed manner and reading in this airlines data set. I hope you guys think this is as cool as I think it is. Yeah, definitely. Well, it's not on my dime, right? So. Yeah. So then this is almost read in here. So just to mention again, you know, these are all the flights from 1987 to 2013. So this is a decently big file. I think it's about 12 gigabytes, yeah. So now it's all read in, and of course you can do a summary call just to see if you want to see some, you know, some descriptive statistics across all the variables that are available in this data set. So then in this instance, we're going to look at a histogram of the flights per year and per month. So then you can see here that there's a peak at the end there, but for the most part, it's pretty uniform. And this is across month, and it's also, you know, not much interesting stuff going on there. I'm going to skip over the scatter plot. I wanted to get to just running this here.
Why is your scatter plot not evenly spaced over the month?
Sorry, what was that?
Your histogram, it's not evenly spaced over the month.
Oh. That's a good question. Good question.
Okay.
So here I'm going to try to run a H2O GLM to predict airline delays. So we'll just run it through. And it's still toggling again across all the EC2 clusters that we have. So you can see here the GLM in general is distributed, much like all our algorithms. So GLM, GBM, deep learning, all of them are distributed in their manner.
Do you want to take questions while I'm
writing? Yeah, if anyone has any questions, please raise your hand. In this case, the histogram is done in H2O. So in H2O, what we have is we have a Java backend called Rapids, which acts as an AST, and that interacts between R and the backend of H2O. So if you look at the Rapids code in our H2O core folder in the H2O repo, you'll see a folder called Rapids, and then in there, there's a H2O.hist written in pure Java. So that has to do with making the bins and all these type of things. So see there, the GLM took 50 seconds to run on a 12 gigabyte file. It's pretty impressive. It's distributed, so it's able to get done pretty quickly. And of course, taking this into production is not a problem at all. Are there any more questions? So are you saying, are they different files or are they the same?
They're all identical. They're all...
So you're saying you would do... They would be all identical, then you would do some type of R bind or C bind between them and then run it through H2O.
Or some sort of modeling. Yeah.
Parallel modeling, I think that's what the question is.
Parallel modeling.
Any models in parallel. Rather than right now you're training one model. If I were to train 100 models right now,
parallel training.
Or ask the buff to train 100 models.
Oh, interesting question. I mean, I've never really seen it that way before, but I would think it would be in parallel just the same. Yeah.
How will it handle it?
Are you better off just running it in base R with a bunch of different EC2 servers? Or is H2O better equipped for it? It's a separate thread, so you'd be limited by CPU.
Yeah. So with H2O, what it would do is it would actually do the same type of computation across the different models. So it would distribute each model across the EC2 clusters in this case.
So it would be an efficient
Sorry, what was that?
It would be inefficient then for me to train around 100 models on the same cluster, H2O cluster, at the same time.
Yeah, it depends on the cores and depends how powerful the machine is, but it could be inefficient. Also, if the problem does not have to be parallel, you shouldn't do it in parallel.
So, well, I think the question is that almost, can you basically shard your data across the cluster based off of some identifier of which the model is running?
Questions? I think we're on our overtime.
Yep.
I'd like to thank the speaker.
Thank you.